You're listening to the More on Manufacturing podcast, where we talk about improving the value and operation of your business. Join Mike, Kevin, and the occasional guest for the latest on sales optimization, operational leadership, cash flow management, lean strategies, preparing for the sale of your company, business intelligence, and much more.
Hi, I'm Mike Sibley, leader of the James Moore Manufacturing Team. I'm here with Kevin Golden, one of my partners and also a member of the James Moore Manufacturing Team. On today's episode, we are discussing the proposed Tax Relief for American Families and Workers Act of 2024. A mouthful of a name there, as usual. In February 2024, the House passed a Tax Relief Act, as you may have heard, with a lot of good, friendly taxpayer provisions. Unfortunately, though, this bill's been sitting there for Senate approval, and it's uncertain at this point when this could even get through the Senate, if it does. But like I said, there's a lot of good provisions in this that we've been waiting for, and we want to see and extensions on some things. But it has an impact on what we're doing now for 2023 tax returns, and will even go back in effect potentially 2022, as well as ERC claims. So we're going to get into some of those things, because now is the time where we're talking to clients and we're talking about those strategies that we want to think about moving forward before we just finish up a tax return and file it. So let's just get started. Kevin, one of the key provisions is depreciation. Why don't you kick us off and talk about that?
Yeah, no, definitely. Now, we like talking about this one first. Why? Because it's one that most people have heard of, right? In some way, shape, or form, they know about depreciation and how that can be an income tax saver and how that can be very beneficial to a wide variety of industries, and especially in manufacturing, right? So to do that, let's just take really quick, briefly explain at a high level kind of what has happened in the last couple of years with what we call bonus depreciation and Section 179 depreciation to where what's being proposed now, right? So prior to 2023, right, your bonus depreciation was 100%. Now, what does that mean? That means if I went out and bought a manufacturing piece of equipment, right, I could take 100% of that write-off in year one through depreciation, through what they call bonus depreciation. Section 179, I could do the exact same thing. The only caveat there is I had to make sure it didn't push me into a loss, a taxable loss for the year. But basically, I could write those off. Well, then on 1/1/23, legislation moved to actually make bonus only 80%, right? And that was planned. It was no surprise there. So now that same asset that I was getting 100% write off, I'm getting 80%, slightly higher when you actually do the calculation, but around there, deduction, right? So one of the things that we're proposing now is, well, let's go back to that 100%, and even better, not just for 2023, but why not make this all the way until 2026? So kind of kicking that proverbial can down the road of saying this won't be an issue for 23, 24, or 25. We'll revisit it again to see if it needs to be adjusted when we get to 26. So very enticing there. While it was already pretty favorable in 23, even more favorable if we revert back to 100%. And for future years, it was planned for it to continue to ratchet down from 80 to 60 to 40%. Keeping that at 100% is even more valuable moving into 24 and 25 if that passes. Section 179 didn't change a whole lot, other than there were some limitations on how much in depreciation you could take up front. They increased those limits up just a little bit, but probably the bigger, more attention-grabbing headline was that, hey, bonus depreciation now to remain at 100%. Again, assuming it passes as it is today, as it's proposed today, and then extend that through the end of 2025, and then, of course, they'll revisit it again there. Another big one, especially in manufacturing, right, is our R&D credit. You may have probably heard of that in manufacturing. Mike, why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. And before I get into that, one of the things, you know, we'll kind of talk at the end about, okay, there's all of these things. What do we do right now? What decisions do we make? Sure. So bear with us as we walk through some of this stuff, and then we'll talk about some options that you may have as you're thinking about filing your tax return. Now, as Kevin mentioned, R&D is a big one. R&D has been around for a lot of years. And what happened is, in the past, you were able to just deduct your research and development tax, your research and development expenses. Now, some companies, when it got to a high enough but also to get a credit on top of that. And there was a net credit calculation. So you'd really get your cake and eat it too, to some degree. Well, a while back, the tax law changed and it was effective for 2022, where you couldn't get your cake and eat it too at that point. And we knew it was coming and we warned a lot of clients about it because it was a tax planning thing that we had to deal with, but we actually thought it was all going to be reversed before it ever actually come into effect. Well, it didn't get reversed for 2022. So what we had to do is we actually had to capitalize the R&D expenses and amortize it basically over 5 years. So you're getting your deduction, but you're just getting over 5 years. And in some cases, foreign R&D, things like that, were over 15 years. So it was really elongated out. You still had the option to get the tax credit, but if, let's just say you had $1 million in R&D expenses, now you're only getting a $200,000 deduction as opposed to $1 million deduction. Again, everybody thought that that was going to go away before it ever came into effect. It didn't. And that, you know, in some cases, it caught a lot of people by surprise because it added obviously a lot of income that were a lack of deduction that you just didn't get to get. So now we fast forward to this law that has been passed by the House, again, still waiting on the Senate to do something. And they say, okay, wait a second. We're going to get rid of that. You're going to be able to expense that R&D and take that R&D credit. And oh, by the way, we're going to make that retroactive to fix 2022. So, you know, that which is great, which means we got some things to think about should this get passed, if it gets passed or when it gets passed. But now we have some things that we have to think about there from an option standpoint. Most manufacturers, and this is just a minute to step back and say research and development. Most manufacturers do research and development. So there's tax credits available potentially. And I mentioned kind of a threshold before. If you're only doing a little bit, it may not be worth the time and energy to capture it. But a lot, you know, if you're doing prototyping, product development, process improvement, there's a whole number of things that could fall under R&D. That's something you need to be talking about if you're not already getting the R&D tax credit. So that's, you know, an aside that most manufacturers are generally doing something along those lines. But this is a major, major change. It's one that we've been looking for. You know, it's one that we've been expecting. We thought would happen at some point. We still think it's going to happen at some point, but you know, it's anybody's guess when this gets taken up, which is why we're trying to be proactive in terms of these conversations. So, well,
and Mike, one thing to add to that is not only did that tax law change in 22, to then now I can't deduct all these, it even caused some of your overhead to get caught up in that. A little bit of your overhead that you normally would just straight up deduct as an expense get caught up in that calculation of I have to capitalize and amortize it over 5 years. So again, this is, like you said earlier, it is something that we thought would change. I think it's important to note too, it's something that both sides of the aisle, the political aisle, want changed. It's a lot of these provisions we're talking about, both sides want them changed. It's just a matter of how they get there, right? You know, what else is included all in the finer details, if you will, that's causing these kind of hangups and delays and so forth. So while we do expect these, some of the logistics of, well, how do I correct 22? Is that over all in 1 year? Do I have to go back and fix last year? Do I get to catch it up this year? What does that look like? Those kind of details, as well as some other legislation they'll probably want to push through in those finer details, is what they're debating and discussing right now and going back and forth on. So again, we think that something will be passed. It's just a matter of when and what are those finer details going to look like. Sure. Another provision out there that applies would be the interest expense limitation, right? Now, if you're going and you want to nerd out a little bit and go look up the code section, that's section 163J. But what that basically did is back during the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act under the Trump administration, it basically said, hey, if you're too highly leveraged, right, if you're of a certain size and you're too highly leveraged and you don't have a lot of income, well, we're not going to let you necessarily deduct all of your interest, right? And so they made that rule back during that Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Well, on January 1st, 2022, there were some tweaks made of that made that calculation even less favorable. Now, what does this mean? This means that if you had a lot of interest expense, there was a good chance that you might not get to deduct all of that, right? Now, you would eventually, anything that you couldn't deduct underneath that calculation, you'd carry forward and deduct it in the future. But what this proposed legislation is doing is going back to the way it was when under the Trump administration passed it, to where it was a little bit more favorable. There still may be a limitation, but there's not quite as many limiting factors around it, right? So this, again, especially for our larger clients, our larger manufacturing companies, especially those that have a lot of interest expense or have a lot of loans, a lot of leverage there, there's probably not as much to worry about there if this is passed on being limited in that in their interest deduction, right? So that's just one item that, again, it's not going away, but it's just that calculation now, if this is passed, is going to be more favorable, kind of the way it was back whenever this law was originally put in place. So another item, one hot topic that's been up there for, in my opinion, way too long, but it's been talked about for many years, for several years now, has been the Employee Retention Credit, or you've heard it called ERTC, Employee Retention Tax Credit. Mike, what is this legislation going to do and how does it impact that? We kind of thought maybe that was over. What is this going to do to it?
Yeah, so this is really finally bringing it to an end. you know, and interestingly, what they've done is they said, okay, this is going to be ending effective 1/31/24. So literally a few weeks ago would have been is that date. So it's going to be interesting how they deal with this, because I know there's still commercials on TV saying, hey, if you didn't get your ERTC, get it now. Well, if you haven't done it by now and you're thinking about it, I would talk to, we've got some resources you can talk to, but you're probably taking a big risk that it may not be processed because it's past that 131 date. But I would suggest talking to truly one of the ERTC experts, ones that probably we would recommend. There's a lot of fly-by-night ones out there and they create a lot of problems, and there's a tremendous amount of fraud and waste and just misunderstanding on this. And so they've actually extended a statute to audit to 6 years in this as opposed to 5 years. I think we're going to see a lot of problems in the coming years on the IRS going after companies on this. One of the issues, and I may as well just get on the, you know, kind of bring it up now, it wasn't really part of the intent, but, you know, is these government shutdowns or the supply chain issues that a lot of people claimed under. A lot of those, in probably most of the cases, don't exist or weren't reality. And so, you know, I think the IRS is probably going to be looking at companies whose revenues did not go down, but claimed it under a supply chain issue where there was not proper government orders. And in those cases, there's the potential to owe a lot of money back, plus interest on these things. So the IRS actually created a way to say, whoops, sorry, I misunderstood and I shouldn't have taken it. So there's a process now to actually get the money back to the government. So, you know, that's something that I know we've had a couple of clients come back and say, you know, the company that did this for us, they didn't know what they were doing. We want to make sure we get the money back. We did not qualify, and we've helped them through those kind of things. So, you know, there's a number of issues with amended tax returns when the refunds come out, the potential audits down the road. There's going to be a lot coming out of this. There's a lot of problems coming down the road. I think the key thing right now to know is that they're going to cut off the filing at this point, and then from there, I still think there's going to be a lot of complication and fallout as we go over the next couple of years or so.
Well, and I one thing to note is you may be thinking, okay, it was a 5-year statute extended to 6 year. Why is that such a big deal? Well, government's not always realistic, but in this case, they are, right? They know it takes them forever to get to things and get things done, especially historically at the IRS. So they know that it's going to take them some while to sift through all the claims, right? Valid and invalid, and make sure that the right people receive the funds So they know that, right? So a typical statute may be 3 years. They doubled that to give themselves that kind of time. That's how seriously they're taking this and saying, hey, we really need to crack down on those fly-by-nights, those that did things the wrong way and those who claimed them incorrectly. And to do that, we're going to give ourselves double the amount of time we normally would to review anything to bring up these types of issues. So don't be surprised, you know, if all of a sudden, you know, you received a letter or something like that says, hey, we got a few questions for you, and it's 5 years from now, right? I mean, it's very likely that that could be the case. So definitely, if you did qualify, keep all your documentation and your reasoning and all that for the foreseeable probably 5 to 6, 7 years. That way you allow yourself all that documentation should it ever needed to be looked at. But that's why they are pushing to extend that out, because again, there were a lot of claims made and they're very realistic that that's going to take some time to go through.
Yeah. And I think, Kevin, you know, the reality too right now, and we've been talking internally about strategies over, you know, the reality is if you got a claim that dated back to 2020 or 2021, you're supposed to amend those tax returns. But what happens if down the road the statute on those tax returns run out, so we can't amend them again, but you have to pay back some money because you got the claim improperly? Mm-hmm. Well, how do we deal with that? Now we're already discussing strategies and to deal with those situations for clients that did receive it and perhaps maybe realize that they shouldn't, or down the road maybe they got audited and some or all of it wasn't appropriate to receive. So this is not going to be the end of this story. We got another several years, you know, or so before this thing falls out, and it's going to be complicated. And there's probably going to be some companies who are going to lose money because of the fact that they got to pay back and can't claim, you know, those deductions ultimately or those expenses. So enough on that, Kevin, why don't you talk to us about child tax credits. This is a little outside of manufacturing, but it is kind of a key.
Sure. There's some other smaller things in those finer details that are hidden in there. So things like a child tax credit increases. Right now, it's around $1,600 that can be increased up by 2025, up to $2,000. If you have any personal casualty losses, those are usually normally very limited, right? Well, they're easing up on those a little bit to make some of those losses a little bit easier to deduct. Things like low-income housing tax credits, those ceilings are now higher on who's eligible for those. Things like that are not, you know, as big as the topics we discussed earlier, but they're still out there. And there's kind of those kind of things that if passed or once passed, you still want to read through those finer details to see how those are applicable to you and your situation. But I think you mentioned earlier, Mike, one last thing we probably want to go over is, all right, well, I've heard of all these benefits and all potential. What is the timeline, or what is your recommendation with this all being up in the air? You know, what are we recommending as far as what to do today? Because, you know, even though these decisions haven't been passed and these bills haven't been made, tax returns are still due come March and April. So kind of what do we do in those areas? Is what's a good strategy?
So I think, Kevin, we got to break it down between, you know, those issues that we just went over. You might be a company that really has very little R&D. You have your depreciation, you know, like small manufacturers, you may not have R&D. Your depreciation may be more than covered by 179 or the 80%. So these issues may not be issues for you, depending on your, file your tax return, get it done, move forward. You should be a good. But if you're a company that's got significant R&D, you've got significant CapEx, and coming up against limitations and taking those, you know, one of the things we're talking about, in fact, we were just talking to another client today. Let's extend your return. Let's do a projection, get you paid in, make sure you're good, but then let's wait. Let's see what comes down the road here, because we also may decide to go back and amend 2022 while we're at it to be able to take advantage of this law for the R&D side of things. So, you know, I think it's really about breaking it down between, is there going to be any impact, any positive impact by waiting or not? You know, so, you know, I think because there's just so much up in the air, the best thing to do probably is, one, talk to us, get some advice. Let's work through where the numbers look like. Let's see what your specific situation calls for. And then, you know, make that decision to file now or extend. I think sometimes every once in a while we say, hey, you know what? Let's file it now. And if it happens, we'll go back and amend. That's an option too. I don't lean to that option because it actually just creates more cost for you because you got to go back and amend and deal with all that kind of stuff. Typically, we can do a pretty good job of coming up with a projection, get you all paid in, get you protected from interest and penalties, all those kind of things, and then just wait and see what happens with the tax law. Kevin, any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I think you hit the nail on the head. And if you're really not sure, you know, just go ahead and file that extension. It doesn't hurt. Even if you end up filing a week later, you know, or soon thereafter, it's not that big a deal. There are sometimes negative connotations around filing an extension. There's not. There's really not. It's more on protection probably to you if you're not sure if this applies to you or not, or not sure about your situation, then that would be a good recommendation. But otherwise, it is very much driven by your facts and circumstances and what makes sense for you. So keep in mind, make a good decision. Tax answers don't always make the most economic sense. So make sure whatever you're doing makes sense for you overall. But those are, again, if you're not sure, an extension can't hurt. So,
right. Yeah. And you know, I think the key thing is, for all we know, this could be, it could be approved 2 days after, you know, 2 days from now. It could be approved 4 weeks from now. It could be 2 months from now. We just don't know what's going to happen with when they get, you know, when they're doing their work and if they get this and it gets presented and what kind of, and they could come back, the Senate could come back with some changes, which just means now we got to kind of reconcile it out and go through all that stuff. So, you know, but I think though the key thing is if it does get passed in its current form at some point, there is an impact back to 2022 potentially, especially if you have the higher R&D. So that just gives us all the more reason to be thinking, let's extend and kind of think about this in totality. So mm-hmm. that way we can handle this thing correctly and get the best situation for you. So, you know, there's a lot of meat in there. There's a lot going on with this thing. We try to boil it down to some of the key things that affect, you know, you as manufacturers. But certainly, if you have questions, feel free to reach out to me or Kevin. We're always happy to talk through whatever situation. We got our team ready to work through any situation. So it's complicated, but you want to make sure you're doing what's best for your specific situation. So with that, Kevin, appreciate all the insight today. And for everybody out there, I hope you have a great rest of your day.
To learn more about James Moore & Company's manufacturing services, go to jmco.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our More on Manufacturing series to receive updates when new videos and podcasts are released. If you'd like to be a guest, or if there's a topic you'd like to see covered on a future episode, contact us on our website. You can also follow us on social media for more news as the landscape on manufacturing continues to rapidly evolve.